War has come to Kryn, a war building for centuries as dragons and gods drift into myth and legend. This is the war that will bring an end to it all, or restore what was lost for good. Welcome to Dragonlance, the Thorns of War.
My name is Jen, and I'm playing Saria, and Saria is a high elf wizard.
I'm Doug. I'm a human rogue by the name of Zeroth Harkonnen.
I'm Esther, and I play Rowena Rotherwood, ranger.
I'm Jim's friend. I'm playing a cleric named Jimpleton.
Hello, my name is Atropos, and I am playing Griffith Boothladron, Salamnic Knight of the Soul.
So every once in a while you across something, and like something in the trees will, and then, you know, like this thing will shoot up and like spray like a purple powder everywhere, and it will get all over you and then you'll hear from the thing. It's like, oh, good. You're almost there. And then kind of give you directions from where you just were.
That's okay. Mildly alarming.
Yeah.
You come to a clearing where you see a cottage, but like all over this cottage is different machines and contraptions and different things set up all around. And you hear all this commotion from the cottage, and you see a number of goblins on the sides trying to get through windows and stuff. And you see from inside, every once in a while, you'll see some bit of flame come out of one of the windows or something like that, and the goblins retreat just a step.
I have a question about the layout of this place. Is there a catapult on top of my workshop?
No. Rookledust, you are inside defending... defending this location. You've got the other Fargab backpack on your back, you know, talking into the Fargab itself as you're picking up tools and shooting them off through windows at goblins. There are like dead goblins like in a circle around this place. As you approach, we're going to roll initiative.
So there, I have a question about the town. There's not a wall around it. So this is like,
we're outside town.
Outside of town.
Yep.
10.
I rolled a 10.
Ugh, guys. 7.
I rolled a 1.
That's so appropriate.
Why? What's appropriate about rolling a 1?
I'm just gonna laugh and look at Jimbleton and like kind of wink at him like.
Tim has a +2 if someone wants to roll for her.
I'll do it. Sorry. I'll do it.
Okay, somebody who has it can do it.
Here we go. 7.
Rowena, you kind of get a view of everything. There is a large crane right in front of you, and the goblins are on the other side. They're kind of getting an idea that, you know, there's visitors here. You see 3 hobgoblins as well as I think it was 8 goblins trying to get into this cottage.
I think I'm going to use my longbow, but first I'm going to cast Hunter's Mark. And I'm going to shoot at the closest hobgoblin to me. Yeah, so the one at the close to the house, like at the top of the, that's a crane right there.
So can you have line of sight?
Do I have line?
I think you do.
Yeah, you might need to move over to the other side, you know, a little. A step
yeah,
over,
I'll move
that crane
a little
is
bit.
Really
to...
big right there, but yeah.
Yeah, so she moves up.
Oh, that's damage. So, oops. So I rolled a 19.
Okay, 19 will hit. That arrow just thunks into his back.
4 damage.
Okay. All right. So we thunk into him for 4 damage.
I think that's going to be the end of my turn.
The hobgoblins turn around and notice this going on, and so the one that you were just shooting at will charge over and sees Jimpleton standing ahead of you. Jimpleton, will a 17 hit?
Yes.
Okay, for 14 damage.
Okay.
Wait. Sorry. Sorry, that's 3 damage. For some reason.
Okay.
That's a lot better, right?
I was like, dang, I'm bloodied. All right.
The one kind of on more toward the center of the map will kind of scurry over and try with a longbow at Zeroth. 6 is probably going to miss. The final hobgoblin will duck underneath the crane and it will shoot the longbow at Griffith for 17.
That is my AC.
Okay, for 4 damage.
All right.
The goblin who that's at the door will continue to just bang on it with his sword and thuds it pretty good for 5 damage. It's starting to buckle. There's a couple more at windows. One has line of sight against what's your name? As I close my book.
Me? My name?
Yeah. Yes.
Tatina.
Tatina. Will 11 hit?
Yes.
Oh.
What?
You gave me a stat block.
You are in trouble.
That's 5 damage.
Okay. Uh-oh. I am
and like, she's dead.
I'm very close to being dead.
Another one of the goblins will run at Zeroth. An 8 what? Is going to miss.
I was gonna do a bonus action hide, but actually, can I do that as a reaction to his miss?
No. Can do a reaction as a reaction.
Can I just do okay?
Zeroth doesn't know what to do when people see him. Yeah. He's like in full panic. He's like, "What's going on?"
I should have named myself Beeping Tom.
This last goblin will also charge in and drastically miss. What's hilarious? He's complaining about this, and no one touched him. Zeroth, it is your turn.
Oh my goodness. I'm gonna hide.
Why? Nobody can hit you.
I'm gonna say that as this was all happening and they're like freaking out, I'm gonna hit the deck and I'm gonna scramble behind this bush, try to get deeper into it, not be detectable if possible.
Are you gonna disengage?
Okay, well, I will disengage as my bonus action and hide.
Okay, disengage will be your action.
Yeah, and my bonus action will be to hide.
Okay, all right, roll it.
23.
Okay, all right. Okay, what do y'all want Tim to do?
Yes, we did skip Tatina.
Oh, we did skip Tatina. Sorry.
Is this the window right here?
Yeah.
Okay, so these little tiny little robots all come like out of all of the different corners in this room, and they put band-aids over where I just got hit, and I'm gonna cast Cure Wounds.
Okay.
Which is, I have to manually roll this. Let's see. Oh wait, maybe it'll let me. No, I don't think it will. A 1d8 plus 4. So I get 9 points of health back, so I'm back up to where I was. And then I'm gonna use my movement to come crawl out this window and crouch right here.
Okay. Are you still talking on the fart app?
Yes, yes. As I'm like trying to like get out the window, I was like, "Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Is that you? Do I hear you? Is that Kinder? Oh, I don't know what happened to my fart app, Kinder."
Nice.
All right, now it's Tim's turn. What y'all would like Tim to do?
Tim should hoop to hoop or whatever that thing is called.
Yeah.
Hoopla.
The hoopla.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it's called. It's the hoopla.
It is now.
And she goes like this. Hoopla.
Right.
Not flowers this time, Tim. Rocks.
Oh, I'll roll a d20.
Alright, it's rolled... +4. What is she shooting?
The hoopla.
Against who?
Oh, sorry. The closest guy. The guy that attacked Templeton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's a Klingon weapon.
And she rolled a 24, so a natural 20.
Yeah, that'll definitely hit. All right. So nice. It's a 1d4 +2 for damage.
5.
Right. All right. Anything else?
Let's see. I get maybe like this, just moving, but not a lot.
Okay.
All right. Just kind of getting in the middle.
One thing Tim can do as a Kinder is taunt. Taunt one of the enemies.
Okay. And what does taunting?
It would cause them to need a DC 12 Wisdom saving throw or have disadvantage on attack rolls until the end of its next turn.
Okay, then Tim will taunt at the one that she just pelted in the face.
So what would Tim yell at one of these?
I don't know.
Anybody?
What you gonna do about it, huh? She yells out with two voices simultaneously.
And, well, this
very distracting to this hobgoblin.
Yeah.
But what did you say? We'll go with yours.
Who?
Someone else said something.
I think both Jin and I both said something at the same time.
Yeah. We were like, oh.
All right, well, there we go. That's the taunt.
The goblin shakes it off, but it is Griffin's turn.
He's just going to close the gap. He's going to close the gap with this hobgoblin. He's going to do what Griffin does. All right. I'm going to move in with this guy.
All right. Against the hobgoblin?
Yeah. Right. And I will attack him with my halberd. With a 18 to hit.
18 does nice. Hit.
All right. And this is going to be a distracting strike. So I need to roll another D6. So that's 7. Wait, no, sorry. Another D8. So 7 plus... 4, so 11 damage.
11 is just enough.
Oh, dang. Is he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
You're running through, and he collapses.
Oh, no. I shouldn't have used that. Well, I guess it added. I was going to give advantage to whoever attacked him next. All right. In that case, I will action surge and strike at the goblin to my just behind me. Again with the halberd. A dirty 20.
Yeah.
What's that called? A sloppy...
A sloppy Joe.
That's right. That's right. For 12 damage.
All right. You run the hobgoblin through, and you pull it out and just swing it around and take this goblin's head off, and it just bounces down the path.
And I will yell to Jempleton, "Melancholy, Jempleton, melancholy." And, that's my turn.
Jempleton, it is your turn.
So I now believe that melancholy is some sort of battle cry.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And so I'm going to say, melancholy! And do I know if these things are fiends?
Goblins? No.
Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead and cast the spiritual weapon. Somewhere over here.
Okay.
and then attack this guy.
Okay, yeah. So one of the guys who are trying to attack the house.
Right. I'm ignoring the guy in my face. I did just yell at him. let's see, where is this? I rolled a 10, and I have an old inspiration that I never used.
Oh, nice. Okay. So
I want to reroll that.
Nice. Okay.
So this time I got an 18.
18 hits for sure.
Okay. 10 damage.
10 damage is definitely enough against a goblin. So what is your spiritual weapon?
It's that thing that Xena throws, but it's two of them fused together to look like the infinity symbol.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It spins around and just cuts this goblin down. And cool. Yeah, anything else?
No, I don't need to move.
All right. Rowena.
I'm going to shoot again at the guy in front of Jimbleton. 19.
19 hits, yeah.
13 damage.
13 takes him out. And this hobgoblin just collapses into a bloody mess at Jimbleton's feet. As it hits some artery, and so it's like squirting everywhere as it spins around and falls down. Blood just coating all of you.
And you have to make a constitution save.
I guess I'm going to move back a little bit, or move down towards Tim a little bit.
All right. Okay. The remaining hobgoblin moves in back towards the main part of the party, and will take a shot at Griffith, because Griffith is up front, and critical miss. The arrow just slams into this crane and just sticks out of the wood there with a thump. The goblin who was fighting Zaroth just lost track of him completely, but will continue on and come after Tim. And an 11 is not nearly good enough. The goblin at the door breaks through and comes in and heads back toward the back bedroom where he saw Tatina go. And the two goblins that are with him will enter as well. That kind of leaves the other two goblins that are closer to y'all, and they'll step forward and both shoot their short bows at Griffith. The first one is a 22 to hit.
Oh yeah.
For 6 damage. The second one is a 15 to hit.
Does not hit.
Okay.
Glances that off my new breastplate.
Zaroth, it is your turn.
I'm going to take a pot shot at this here goblin coming up on Templeton.
Okay.
Tim.
The one kind of in the back lines.
So I have advantage on sneak attack. Yep. So sneak attack, I get a roll twice, I think.
You have advantage.
No, it's 2d6.
On the attack.
Yeah. Oh, 10. I guess I got to roll again because that's advantage.
Yeah.
Is that right? Oh, d20. 26.
26 for hits for sure.
So that's a critical, right?
Was it a natural 20?
It was a natural 20.
Then yes.
Yeah. 14.
Okay, yeah. It'll go down. All right, anything else?
I'm going to move. And actually, I was looking at my thing, and I have this thing called cunning action. You can take a bonus action on each of your turns to take the dash, disengage, or hide action. So as I move, I'm going to use my bonus action to hide behind the crane, but within a better shot of these guys.
All right. So this part of the crane is the part that's off the ground.
Okay.
This is the part that's on the ground.
Okay. So maybe right.
Right. So you're kind of in between the where the crane and the tree is. But yeah, if you get a little closer then.
This is a tree, right?
That's a tree, right? Yeah.
Okay. So I'll be on behind the south this side. Tree.
And, yeah. All right. Yeah. Roll stealth.
Yeah. 24.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. You seem to just disappear there.
Looking at the, like, just kind of frantically looking at the ground all around me, like picking up a trinket and tossing it away, and then picking up another one and tossing it away until I finally find what I'm looking for, which is, like, this wind up, almost like a drone. You, like, wind it up and it, like, flies through the window. I do have to be able to have line of sight for this. So I'm gonna step in front of the window and, like, let it go. And this little, you know, trinket kind of flies towards this goblin and it just like a flood, like all these different lights, like these blinding lights come on, and it will cast Sacred Flame. And so he must make a dex saving throw, and the DC on that will be 12.
Okay, he does make that. He got 21.
I will duck underneath the window. Not that he doesn't know that I'm there, but I am going to try to get, like, if I'm able to get some kind of, like, half cover or something, I'm going to try to, you know, duck underneath the window.
Opening. Okay, no damage on save?
I don't think so. Let me look again. Okay, yeah.
You still have a lot of movement left if you do want to go somewhere. You've only used 5 feet of it.
Do I want to move? Do I know what this does?
Yeah, it's a crane. It spins around and moves things, and...
Am I aware of if it's functional?
Look, if you don't have confidence in your own inventions, then I don't know what to tell you. A gnome will never doubt the equipment.
Where would I stand to try to make it work?
Over here.
Over here. Can I make it over there?
Not quite.
I will head towards my crane, and I'm
okay.
I'm gonna try to keep a wide berth of that guy, and come over here.
All right. What is Tim gonna do?
Hoopla.
Meanwhile, at the test of high sorcery. The night before your test passes in dreamlessly in peaceful comfort, you get the benefits of long rest. The next day, the Tower of Weyrith is quiet. The inspiring mages you met the day before are nowhere to be found, perhaps already having begun their test. As the isolated hours pass, the sun rises and falls. You take a walk around the silent towers to the areas open to you, and out the amply moonlit corridor where the red moon soars above right now, casting red light on everything below. As you come back to the Grand Hall, you peek into the Grand Hall where the leaders of the Conclave gather. The Hall of Mages is immense obsidian chamber with 60-foot dome ceiling. 20 chairs sit in the shadows, while one central chair gives off a cold white glow, the hall's only light source. All 21 chairs face the north wall. The longer you stare into the room, the larger the chamber grows in your eyes. You can only imagine the history of this place, spells of incredible power weaved by the world's greatest mages, and the critical decisions made here about the future of the Conclave. You realize that you are now a part of history, however great, small or great your destiny proves to be. You continue on. You start climbing some of the. Find a staircase, a spiraling set of black stone stairs. As you begin to climb it, it slowly dawns on you that you have been summoned to begin your test. The spiral staircase seems to go on forever, lit by torches on the right wall that burns with white, red, and black magical flame. At last you see the landing at the top of the stairs, beyond which stands a double wooden doors with a pair of silver door knockers. On the left wall, large painted portraits hang at even intervals, portraying various past mages of high sorcery. You gonna take a look at those, or are you gonna go ahead and go?
No, I would like to take a look at those.
The portraits are somewhat of a mystery. Only 12 paintings hang on the wall for no apparent rhyme or reason. You cannot know for sure if you were meant to find these specific portraits, or if the conclave changes the portraits hanging randomly, or if everything you see is just merely an illusion. The painted mages wear a balance of black, red, and white robes. They all look very different from one another, featuring numerous races. Some of the paintings reveal scowling or bored expressions. Others portray more whimsical mages, often not taking themselves seriously. You observe the final 5 paintings with keen interest. The first is a black-robed wizard with enormous, dazzling smile that wears a pointy hat and a monocle. Second portrait portrays a tall, red-robed wizard with blue skin and a very proud expression. Looks like an elf, but that seems weird. Clutching a magical amulet with long fingers. Third painting shows a shy-looking, black-robed young woman with dark hair and strange pupils, the shape of golden hourglasses. The fourth portrait is of a white-robed elven woman with ghostly white hair, determination in her eyes, and an ornate rapier hanging from a rope belt. All of them, mages from every sort of background, took their test of high sorcery and survived. But the final frame, the painting, has no frame. It is entirely black. Looking at it makes your skin crawl. You feel like someone is watching you from the other side of its shadowy canvas. You want to pass it or take a look?
No, I want to take a look.
Okay. So as you start looking at this, make an Arcana check. DC is 19.
Ooh. And I got a 20. I got a Sloppy Joe.
Nice. All right. The midnight colored ink begins to swirl on the canvas, and you hear a man's deep, quiet, articulate voice in your mind. More wood for the fire. Another sacrifice to feed the Conclave's pride. You are an interesting one, though, aren't you? With a little help, I suspect that you might just make a mark in the world. No mage worth their salt is an island, after all. You can still feel invisible eyes on you, but the creeping sensation eases. The black portrait seems less ominous now than it did before. The mysterious mage continues to speak in your eye. In your eye? Boy, that'd be weird. In your mind, not answering every question or revealing his identity. Even many of the most promising mages master their early test, only to perish in the last, most vicious test. The corpses of those unlucky acolytes now lie entombed beneath this very tower. I alone can help you from survive your final challenge. All that I ask, in exchange, is a small portion of your life force after you complete your test.
Pass.
How utterly disappointing that you have so little ambition or even an ounce of self-preservation. So be it. More wood for the fire.
Thanks anyway, sir. And I'll just keep walking.
You reach the doors, and as you approach, they open to you. And even though you've been climbing for a long time, you step out into a forest. As you take a quick glance behind you, the tower is gone. You are alone, and your test has begun.
I'm going to cast Mage Armor again.
You're walking through the forest, and you're getting the kind of the clomps of footfalls on the forest floor, but they're starting to echo more as you look down. You see that you're getting onto an ancient stone road. You follow it and you find yourself in an ancient ruin. The walls are carved with images of battles long past, featuring elves and humans engaged in fierce combat against strange, shapeless monstrosities. From within the carvings come a trio of sighs, the air shimmering with light and energy that coalesces into ethereal forms of 3 elven ghosts. Their eyes are sightless. Yeah, they look at you, and yet they look at you as they speak. You can't hear their words, only sighs rising from their throats. but you can read what they have to say from their lips. Please free us. Free us from perpetual suffering. Put us to rest. Let us join our siblings and parents in the beyond. Tell me if I need to repeat any of this.
No, I think I got it.
Okay. The gesture deeper into the ruins. In the darkness, you see three skeletons clothed in ancient battle gear, their bones in disarray. Each of their hands holds a different item. The first holds a silver goblet with droplets of rubies. The second, a sphere of cloudy quartz. And the third, a golden crown with sapphire in the shape of a shining star. But before you can move, confident voice cuts through the echoing grave. Oh, it looks like you got here before me. And you turn around to see what appears to be another apprentice mage, hands propped on his hips as he looks at you. Well, that's fine. How about you take one of the treasures and I'll take another, and we'll call it fair. I mean, it's not like these elves need it anymore. The ghosts shrink back, almost hissing at his presence. They turn towards you and repeat their voiceless pleas.
Do I recognize this apprentice from dinner or anywhere whenever we were chilling the day before?
Roll insight for me.
6.
Nope.
I turn around and I just tell him, I'm sorry, I'm trying to concentrate. I'm taking this test very seriously. If you want to grab something, by all means, but please leave me alone.
Oh, there's no need for all of that. There's plenty for both of us.
Well, by all means, take whatever you need to take. I'm just sitting here contemplating the test. Thank you.
You're just going to sit there?
Are you just going to sit there? I thought you were going to pilfer.
He leans against the wall and just stares at you.
Uh-huh. I would like to whisper to the ghosts, how can I help you?
Put us to rest.
I understand that, but how?
They point to the bodies.
Okay. All right, you said one has a silver goblet with rubies, one has a gold crown with a sapphire star. What was the second item?
A sphere of cloudy quartz.
Sphere of... what does that mean? Like, it's an orb? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Or it's okay, orb. So it's just a djinn. Okay.
Yeah.
If I look down and investigate the three different bodies, is there anything other than what they're holding that's like distinctive about them?
Okay. Yeah. So up close, as you walk forward, the ghosts kind of float alongside of you, and they keep pointing to the skeletons. Each corpse you find is defiled and discarded by whoever struck the killing blows, leaving them to rot. The other mage kind of moves forward, just hovering behind you.
I feel like you're cheating at this point. Like, I feel like you're cheating. Can you maybe like turn around while I make my decision, please, sir? Cheating.
Oh, cheater. Come now. We can help each other.
You're just like staring at me though. You're not helping. So if you want to help, I'm happy to talk this out with you, but you're just staring at me and I don't trust you.
You realize that kind of putting the bones back together, will probably do the trick. That they were just, they would have been fine, you know, falling on the battlefield, but that they were all defiled and messed up.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I will kind of put them back together and try to lay them in a very respectful way. And I will make sure that they each have their treasure with them. I'm not going to take it.
Okay. The other guy, you hear his foot kind of shuffle forward, but the ghosts line up it in between you, and he won't let him pass as you do this. Make a make either an investigation or a medicine check to figure out putting these things back.
It would be a 21.
21. The ghost, you hear them sigh with relief, and as they float past you, brushing your forehead with gentle fingers, and you get inspiration.
Yay!
All three ghosts close their eyes once they lie down, kind of within their corpses, and they slowly fade from the world. As you kind of stand up and brush off the grave dirt, partially the partially collapsed ceiling of the ruins break open, and a sea of icy shadow spills from the opening, enveloping you entirely. When the freezing darkness departs, you face your next test. So go ahead and mark inspiration. There is one thing that I forgot to mention. You get, as part of the test, you get five points that you can use as this lows, these destiny points. And so you can use it in battle to, and you can use them after you make a roll, but you can use
it. You can
or
cannot.
You can.
Okay.
You can use it to, you know, change a roll into a crit. You can use it to change a saving throw into a success.
Okay.
Or if you die, one will burn to resurrect you with 10.
So I can die five times, is what you're telling
me. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And now you're sitting there going, well, Paul didn't actually make it through the test at all. he died six times.
He must
times?
Have died six times. Wow. Or he blew all his on trying to make saves. All right. So is this apprentice guy still hovering?
No.
Okay. That's what I thought. All right. I will move on to the next area.
Yeah, as you enter this area, what was behind you is now gone. So, like, you turn around and that cave is not there. And so the guy is also not there. You find yourself... Is that right? So you continue... Let me make sure I'm in the right spot. You continue through this freezing darkness, and eventually the path leads you to another cave. This is a dim cave lit only by the moonlit light barely creeping through a single crack on the roof. Surrounding you are stone statues of people, each perfectly preserved in lifelike poses. The statues' realistic features are frozen in various expressions, some looking ahead with complete confidence, while others cower and shrink away from an unseen danger. Broken parts of the statues have fallen off with time and erosion, and those stones are cracking on the ground. On the other side of the cave, you see a heavy wooden door, the only clear exit. You can.
I wanted to just investigate the stone carvings.
Okay.
Yeah. Closer.
Well, roll investigation.
15.
15. This isn't the work of an artist. These people were real.
Oh. Ew.
You don't believe there's anything you could do for them, but if you want to, stealth forward, move forward boldly, sit there and wait.
did I get a sense of how long they've been like that, I ask it this way, did I get a sense that they've all been there for the same amount of time?
No.
Okay.
Some are very, very, very old. Some are
okay.
Newer.
All right. So I'm getting the sense that that may also be my fate if I screw this part of the test up.
See, we were worried about staying up too late. but apparently not.
All right, I will cautiously continue forward through the door.
Carefully and quietly, you navigate the statues and broken stones, trying to hang out in the shadows. You keep your ears and eyes keen for any movement. As you get farther in, you spot a figure with a snake tail and humanoid torso dressing one of the statues in a cloak, chuckling to herself with amusement. As you try to pass her, you can make a stealth check. Or if you
yes, please.
Jump her, you can.
And yeah, I would like to make a stealth check. Yes. Ooh, that is an 8.
The creature spins around on her coiled tail, her forked tongue flicking out the taste in the air. Her gaze turns toward where you stand. She begins to advance on you, slithering along on the long snake's tail that emerges from her humanoid torso. Though you never quite see her gaze, you notice her head is wreathed with snakes for hair. She hisses, like, look at this. They brought me a new mage for my special collection.
You
take an unconscious step away from her, and your foot hits the edge of a nest filled with white eggs.
Oh, shit. Well, how many? Is, like, a bunch of them?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of them. Yeah, okay.
Like five.
Okay. I grab one and just, like, hold it up like I'm gonna throw it, but I don't throw it. And I say, stop, let me pass, or I throw it.
You lift it over your head, and and roll me an intimidation.
Okay. I'm not a very intimidating figure. But
Jeff is highlighting the message, reminding you that you have advantage.
I rolled a 13. I will use my inspiration on that, I think. Not one of my destiny points. I'm roll it again. Oh, wow. Okay. So a 13.
Okay. 13 is good. The Medusa hisses at you, but she slowly backs away, giving you room to get to the door. Roll me perception.
Just as using the trick I was trying to use before. Jim's friend said you can try. 11.
11. Your hand. You have one hand with the egg and one hand on the door, and it's locked.
It's locked. Okay.
The Medusa says, here, I can help you.
No, I'm going to ignore Medusa, and I'm just going to cast knock on the door.
Okay. Let me see where we're going next. You get through the door. Do you leave the egg behind you, by the way?
Yeah, no, I set it down. Yeah, I set it down, and I don't take it with me.
Okay.
Loading. What's the loading screen look like for the Test of High Sorcery?
Yeah, like the landscape is rendering. So like you start seeing like parts of the trees, and then the leaves pop up, but the grass still isn't there. So it's just a grid.
So how's everyone?
You arrive at kind of a peaceful place here, and I don't necessarily know that you need to take a short rest, but you can if you want.
I am checking to see if I get any spell slots back on a short rest, because that... Once per day, when you finish a short rest, you can choose expended spell slots to recover up to a combined level... of 2, and none of them. Okay, I will take a short rest so that I can get my spell slots back.
Very nice. That's a good. Is that a feat or is that a feature of wizards?
That is. Why do I have that? That is arcane recovery. Nice. It is part of my school of abdomen nice. Or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Not very good. All right. So short rest is happening. And you continue your journey. The path is okay. going to lead you. You are, it's still cold. It's still like, you know, you see like the forest around you and it's still dark. Like Weyrith Forest is dark, but it's chilly. But you see a light ahead of you and you arrive at a small hut. The strong scent of herbs wafting through the air. Just this like clearing just has like sunlight, like nowhere else does, but just this clearing has sunlight. And as you kind of glance inside, you see shelves and cupboards filled to the brim with jars and bottles with featuring ingredients such as basilisk blood and unicorn hair. Before you can even decide whether you're going to stay or go, an elderly woman shuffles into the room from the back going, "Oh goodness, you're finally here." Her voice is very gentle. She's smiling from ear to ear, and she holds out her hand and says, come, dear. Have some nice herbal tea and some cookies. We must have had a tremendous time getting your test so far. Conclave just doesn't know how to be gentle on youngsters.
I'm not that young, and I sit down. And if she's offering tea and cookies, I will, of course, do my usual, like, sniff them and make sure they're not poisoned or cursed.
She puts a thing of freshly baked cookies and a fresh cup of peppermint tea in front of you. She wipes her hands on her apron and shuffles over to the fireplace where a black iron pot bubbles filled with acrid smelling liquid. And she continues chatting as she is stirring the pot going, "Really, mages are so jaded by wars and conflict, they've forgotten to what it's like to be new in the world. Even getting through Weyrith Forest is such an ordeal these days, so thankfully you came across the fairies when you did. Now, mages like you require all the help they can get." She looks back at you, her expression still kind, but her eyes knowing. "However, I should let you know that the bread you took, which I baked myself, doesn't have any effect until you're ready to pay the price. I wish things could be free, but that's just the way it is, isn't it?"
Should have expected so. What's the price?
Could you come over here and help me out with this?
Sure.
While she speaks, something inside you lurches and your limbs twitch. Make a wisdom saving throw. DC is 13.
What do I use these destiny points for? One of them can be advantage.
No, you'll succeed if...
I'll succeed if I fail. Gotcha.
Right, yeah.
Roll it first. Wisdom save.
That's a 6. I think I would like to use a destiny point on this one.
All right. You feel the urge to stand up and walk over to the older woman, but you manage to shake it off. She frowns, turning softly. Vader Kid, thank you so much for the biddies. Vader Kid will never know if you live or die.
He will never know. He has to listen to the podcast, I guess.
Right. where was I? Really, youngsters these days. She stirs the pot a few more times, then taps the spoon dry on the side of the pot and lets it sit on the counter. If you're worried, the price for my bread is and my help is not unreasonable. I just need some assistance with my potion here. Then I can send you on your merry way with a fresh pep in your step. She turns back to you and bends down, searching through some... turns her back to you and sits and bends down, searching through some drawers, muttering under her breath about trying to find bat fingers. So...
I don't know if bats have fingers, ma'am.
You can help her with a potion if you want to... sabotage it, you can do so as well.
I'll help her.
Okay. The older woman beams and takes your hand in her small wizened ones. She looks at you, her face becomes sharper, her ears pointed, her eyes milky white, and the color drains from her apron until it's just a gray robe. Soon her transformation into a hag is complete, but even as her appearance shifts, her expression continues to be warm and polite.
I hope my true appearance doesn't alarm you. You can understand why I look a little bit more helpless at first. From within the hag's wispy white hair, you see some of the fairies from Wayworth Forest peek out, giggling and winking at you. Now then, dear, I don't need very much help at all. Truly, all I need is part of your flesh and blood to add to the potion. Only a little bit. Mm-hmm. A finger or an eye would be ideal, but I'll let you choose. The process will be quite painless, too, as a bonus. She grips your hand and remains firm, her gaze expectant.
I'm afraid you're not going to get that from me. And I will try to kind of pull away.
Mm-hmm. Now, dear, you must understand that debts of this nature are not something you can easily put off. Interest increases, and the next time you're called to pay the price, it will be much steeper than a body part of your choice. Fairies tug at the hag's hair, whispering something into her ear, and she sighs. However, if this is the path that you wish to take, then I will let the bread take full effect now rather than later.
What is the bread going to do?
Well, you'll see.
All right. Can I have my hand back?
Very well. All you youngsters these days taking such risks, putting off for till tomorrow what you should have accomplished today. She presses a hand against your chest, searing you with a brand that makes your marking your debt to the Fae. You take 5 force damage.
Yes.
Now, about the bread.
What is it like? Does it like leave a mark?
Yes.
You said?
Yes.
What does it look like?
Like a hand.
Nice.
Now she puts her hand, she says, now about the bread. She puts her hand on your face, patting her cheek. As she does, a flash of magic pours through you. You feel empowered. Gain 10 temporary hit points. And, and do you have any spent spell slots?
I don't, no.
Okay. Hope it was worth it, dear. The hag sighs, disappointed, and shakes her head. Then the hut fades away, revealing your next test of high sorcery.
Me too, lady. Me too.
The bread gives you diabetes. Diabetes.
Diabetes. Diabetes.
We're moving right along. Boy, this PDF does not.
Well, I'm not wearing armor. I rely on mage armor, which is just like this magical, shimmery shield that's like not physical. And so, yeah, you can absolutely see it on my clothes.
Well, weirdly, like, yeah, like, you know, anime mage garb actually covers much more of you than anime armor or fantasy armor, which.
Really, yeah, provides that tracks.
Almost no protection.
Tracks.
You stand in a blood-stained arena enclosed by impossibly high stone walls. In the distance, faceless crowds roar in anticipation, their glee carried down by air that smells of iron and sweat. A pile of weapons sit at the center of the arena, ready for use. As you look around, you notice more than a dozen other test takers here, all looking as bewildered and bedraggled as you feel. You spot Kyrian across the arena from you, her pale face and her body shaking with terror.
I wave.
Hi.
Oh my goodness, the whole page just reloaded. I don't know what's happening with Kyrian.
Oh no, Flybox
Post, hello. We're gonna try to get back on this. I think it knocked me off my page. This is gonna be cut out of the podcast.
Oh wait, no, you're not gonna keep it.
Yeah, just silence. Kyrian, silence.
No.
Kyrian was so scared she reached the fourth wall to get more time. Okay, so you wave to Kyrian, and all of a sudden you hear. Welcome one and all to the trial of the Terror Wind. The crowds cheer loudly in response as the announcer pauses for the applause before they continue. This is a crowd favorite, but I'll make sure to repeat the rules for the new blood. In just a moment here, the Terror Wind was going to appear. Now all of our hopeful mages have to do is survive. The trial ends when one mage is left standing or if someone forever renounces their magic to save the others. Either way, it's going to be fun.
Oh, wow.
In the middle of the arena, a breeze begins to blow, swirling lazily. Soon it picks up speed, forming a ball of twisting and writhing wind. Swords, axes, spears, and arrows and maces begin to spin in the growing living tornado caught within the whirlwind. Let the trial begin! The announcer has barely finished his words when the terror wind flies forward, carving through one of the unsuspecting mages, leaving behind nothing but gore and scraps of cloth. The crowd howls with the first drawn blood, and the cheering continues as the terror wind advances its path of destruction. Many other test takers don't focus on the terror wind, instead brutally turning on each other. Spells fly through the air, blades drawn against companions. As you turn, you see the terror wind start to spin its way toward Carrion, who seems frozen in spot in the face of impending doom.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go help Carrion. I'm going to run over.
Okay. You run as fast as you can to Carrion, trying to outpace the terror wind. As you get closer, you see that Carrion's attention is elsewhere, trying to fend off another test taker, intent on killing her. You recognize her attacker, that man from earlier who was taunting her and seemed to get annoyed at you. His name was Darian. Tarawin quickly approaches. You could pull Carrion to safely and let her attacker be killed, or you can tackle both of them out of the way of the Tarawin.
You know what? Darian flippin' deserves it, but I'm going to push both of them out of the way.
Recklessly, you leap forward and tackle two of them to the ground away from the terror wind's path. Whirling blades dig deep into your back as you try to protect them, dealing 11 points of slashing damage. Once the terror wind spins around and attacks another group, you slowly rise from the dust along with Darian and Carrion. Carrion staggers and falls into your arms a moment later. Darian looks at you with begrudging respect before he turns off to fight another group of mages.
Uh-huh. That's what I thought.
Carrion is crying. I don't want to be a mage anymore if it means being okay with other people dying. I don't want to watch you die. I don't want to watch other people get... We can put a stop to the test together. Even if we give up our magic. That doesn't mean giving up on life. And maybe we could go out adventuring together and find something else we could do. Her eyes look at you, clear and pure, and you see hope on her face for the first time.
So, for clarification, I thought the rule said only one person has to give up magic for the test to end.
Yep.
Okay, so we don't both have to do it.
No, she's just asking you to come with her.
She's just asking me to come. I look down, and I say... Don't take this the wrong way, friend. I don't want to give up my magic. If you want to give up your magic, I'm not going to hold it against you. But also, if you want to stay here, maybe we can figure out another way to beat the test. Up to you. Up to you. But I'm not going to quit.
The hope fades from Kyrian's eyes, but the determination stays. She wipes away her tears and takes your hand in hers. I understand, but that means you better survive the test and become the greatest mage ever known. I'll be cheering for you, whatever you do. And maybe you can come find me and visit.
Does this mean you're leaving?
Kyrian closes her eyes and bows her head. As she does, you see a ray of energy burst from her like a multicolored sunbeams. Her magical powers draining from her and into the arena. The terror wind unravels into a gentle breeze, its weaponry clanging to the sand. You reach your hand to one of the beams and you feel like some part of Carrion's magic flows through you, awakening your senses to the arcane. And take inspiration.
Let's see if I have something to get. She's alive, right? She just can't do magic anymore. Yep. Okay. I'm just going to see if I can give her something, but I don't really have anything. my starting equipment came with a signet ring. So I imagine this is like a family heirloom ring. And I'll give it to her as a gift.
All right. The arena begins to fade away, and she takes it with a smile on her face. And as you blink, it's all gone, and you're somewhere new. You haven't died yet.
Still alive. 4 destiny points left. Have inspiration. More than half of my hit points remaining. All good.
You find yourself weary from everything you faced so far. You stand beneath a gorgeous sunset sky on top of a hill, crossroads overgrown with tangled weeds and dancing blades of pale grass. 4 paths cascade down from the crossroads, 3 offering locations where you might find rest, and 1 hinting of a more perilous-looking trail. The westward road leads to a small seaside village in the midst of a celebration, its people singing lively off-key shanties from the town square. The northern road slopes to a beautiful glade surrounded by cozy trees and a sparkling pond. The eastern road curves around a rocky bend. Beyond that lies a home that looks just like the one you grew up in, with a single lantern's light shining from the window. The southern road disappears in the thick, choking fog, and you can feel in your gut that way leads to the next challenge.
I will go to the next challenge.
Oh, wow. No rest, huh?
No rest. No rest. Although those sea shanties did give me pause.
Look, if you don't go to the sea shanty, then I don't write one for the podcast.
You have one you can recycle if you really need it.
Honestly, that's what I would do, is Joe, just put the music in there.
Dragonlance: The Thorns of War is based on the adventures Dragonlance: Shadows of the Dragon Queen from Wizards of the Coast, and The Test of High Sorcery by Donathan Fry and Kiana Shaw. We stream this game on the 3rd Sunday of each month at twitch.tv/technofunkboy. Theme song by the Technofunkboy, featuring Blue Velvet. Thanks to Sirenscape for the amazing atmosphere and other music. Make sure you check them out at sirenscape.com to use them at your gaming table. The Thorns of War is part of the Play Well Network, where you've just been pwned.
Greetings, fellow gamers. I am here today to tell you about a podcast that you may not have heard about yet, called the Retronym Podcast. It is hosted by me, Wes, and I take you through my favorite gaming memories, or maybe my least favorite gaming memories, and give you lots of hints, tidbits, and just fun little anecdotes about the games that you know and love. So please head over to the Retronym Podcast, download all of my episodes, I would greatly appreciate it, and just join me on this retro-fueled nostalgia trip.